this is the New Life album, or the New Life pack. And this is Jonathan Kahn, and we are now up to the 11th teaching, which is the happiness secrets, or the secrets of true joy and true success and abundant life in God. Now, the world outside of God is seeking happiness. Everybody seeks happiness in some way, fulfillment, something. And we're told we're going to get it if we get the car of our dreams, or the house of our dreams, or the person of our dreams, or the success of our dreams, or the career of our dreams. And, you know, we spend our whole life seeking for these things, and we either don't get it, or we get it, and then we say, is that it? Is that all there is? This isn't it. You know, it passes. It's kind of like in the world, everything is heading away from a party, from a celebration. It's like the party's ending. And, you know, you get youth, but for the rest of your life, you're moving away from it. You know, you might have beauty, but for the rest of your life, you're moving away from it. You have strength and powers, and you're moving away from it. You're losing things. And it's kind of like the fizzle goes out. And, you know, you even can get the things that you think are going to do it. And it's just something fades. You know, you got the honeymoon and the marriage, but then, you know, if all you've got is this natural world without God, then it just, things get old. But in God, it's the opposite. You know, the flesh gets old, but the spirit gets new. And therefore, life in God, it's like you're heading for a celebration. And things get newer if you grow in the spirit. And it's means that sometimes things at first that are good don't always feel good, but they end up being good. They end with celebration. The good news is that God is into joy, not cheap thrills, you know, and you can get that. That's not a life of joy. You can get all these things that can give you certain thrills for, you know, for a few moments or whatever, but that's not a life of joy. You end up being empty. But God is into giving his people joy. You know, it makes sense. I mean, because we're made by him and he's got the answer. And, you know, joy, as I mentioned before, is one of the fruits of the spirit. Isn't that good news? I mean, that's real good stuff. Joy is, but you have to do it his way. And it doesn't mean, it didn't say without any pain or without any tears or without, that's false. Anybody tries to sell you something like that. We're in life and we're going to go through things and we're going to deal with things. We're going to have things happen we don't want. We're going to have flat tires and things. You know, and there are times it will be higher and lower, you know, the emotions part, but there is a joy that comes from the center. Let me tell you what it's kind of like. You know, before I knew the Lord, it was kind of like no matter what was happening on the outside, it could be the biggest party or whatever's going on, and deep inside, it was empty. Deep inside my life, I didn't know why I was here, and I didn't, you know, it's kind of like dark. But in God, it's the opposite. It doesn't matter, even at the worst times, the hardest times, when all around you could even be, you know, whatever, deep down there's like a flame burning of hope and faith and love, you know, and joy, even within it. You know, Paul said sometimes we go through the toughest times and yet, you know, on the outside it's kind of like we're like sorrowful, but yet still we're always rejoicing. You know, only a child of God can speak like that. Now, I'm going to give you some of the secrets of a joyful life in God. Now, some of them, if you've been listening carefully, you've heard in different pieces, you would have picked up different pieces of this throughout. But now I'm going to do it. I want to also tell you again, remind you that, you know, that when they did these studies, you know, recently, scientific studies, they found out one of the main things of joy is faith and spirituality. And those who had that and were active in that were among the most joyous people, or were the most joyous people. So now let me give you a few secrets from the Bible, okay? And the main thing, well, let me start out with this. Here's a Hebrew word. The word is asher, which means, it speaks of straightness. It speaks of literally it comes from a word that means a straight, level path. So it means straight, and yet it's also the word for happiness, for joy, for being blessed, for joy. And so there's a link there, and that means this. You want joy, go the straight path. You don't go all around, don't cut corners, go the straight path. Go the way of righteousness. Righteousness and joy go together. True righteousness, and I mean from the heart of God, not a legalistic thing, but true righteousness from your heart with God's spirit and doing what's right is the path of joy. It doesn't always feel good, and again, sometimes you have to sacrifice, sometimes it really hurts, but it's tough in the beginning, but it always ends with joy and is characterized by joy. The light, you know, it's funny, the people, not so funny, but the people who end up trying to seek pleasure, and avoid all the pain and end up taking tranquilizers, it ends up not being a way of joy at all. the way of just seeking pleasure for pleasure's sake ends up with emptiness and being miserable. But the way of righteousness, seeking righteousness, you end up with joy. You know, he said, seek the kingdom, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So one of the things about seeking joy is you don't seek pleasure or happiness for the sake of that. You seek to do what's right regardless. And then whatever you get is like icing on the cake. You say, hey, listen, I'm here to do what's right regardless of that. I'm not so desperate that I have to get every sensation of, you know, of joy or try to avoid every, you know, pain. I'm here to do what's right, period. And that is my joy, you know, and you'll get joy on top of that. You know, it's the Sermon on the Mount where he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the, you know, that can be taken, that Greek word and standing for a Hebrew word, ashrei, can be taken as happy are they as well. So you want joy, righteousness, do what's right, learn to do what's right, and to focus on the right, regardless of what it costs you, and you'll end up with that. Let me give you some more. And this is linked to that. You know what? You want to be happy in God. It's real simple. There's this old hymn that goes this way too. But trust and obey. It says trust and obey because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Simply trust God. You know, don't make it complicated. Don't get all. Don't let people move you away this way. You know, even just trust God. Do it and trust and obey. Just do it. Let me give you another thing. And I don't know if I mentioned this because I've done a lot of different taping here yet. But I've done a message once called The Private and the General. So the key is, and I might have touched upon this, but a little bit more in that. That is, you know, the general has all authority. A private has really almost no authority, you know. But there is a time when a private has as much authority as a general. And that's when the private is fulfilling an order or carrying the orders of a general. And as much as they are in the will of the general, they've got the authority of the general to do what they do. So when you walk in the authority of God, when you walk in God's will, you're doing his will, you have the authority of the king of the universe with you. And there's a strength to your life. When you're walking against it, you know, it's as if you have no authority. And let me put it another way. It's a cool thing. You know, you might think of following God as being a hard thing. Really, it's not. I mean, it can seem that way. And yet, the Lord said, in Matthew, he said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened down, and I'll give you rest. He's saying the way of not following him is the way of weariness in the end and burdens. You know, you're burdened down. I'll give you rest. He said, you know, take my yoke upon you. He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light, you know, in the long run. So even the way of sacrifice is the way of joy and lightness. And, you know, there, you may think, you know, the ways of the spirit, you know, all to self-control and, you know, following what's right and, you know, doing good, that's harder. I'll sit around and do my own thing and that'll be easier. We think the way of the spirit's harder. It's the opposite. You know, the word spirit in Hebrew is ruach, which means the wind, you know. And so what it's saying is like to go against the spirit is to go against the ruach, the wind. It's like fighting the wind. When you live by the flesh and you live by selfishness, you're fighting the wind. And so everything you do, you know, when the wind's against you, you creates, aerodynamically speaking, drag. So your life becomes a drag. But when you turn around and you go the way of the wind, the wind's at your back, you're going with the wind, you're going with the spirit. When you follow the things of the spirit, those who are led by the spirit, they walk in newness of life. It says there's refreshing. You know, repentance, there's refreshing, there's power, and everything becomes easier. It's in the long run. It's the drag disappears on your life and it becomes a breeze. Not that, again, there aren't hard things to do and, you know, but in the spirit of your life, in the heart, in the center of your life, inside, it becomes the breeze of God. Okay? Let me give you some more keys here. So just do what's right. Persevere. You know, that's one of the things it says. Perseverance is one of the things of godly people. Persevere. Be stubborn. You can't in goodness. Not to be stubborn in your own will, but be stubborn in goodness. You know, goodness is good. Therefore, the more good you have, the more you stick to goodness, the better. The longer you love, you know, it's good. I mean, God's love. But if you're just going to love for a moment, and then someone, you know, steps on your toe and that's it, you're finished. Then what good was that love? It was just a flash. It was just a little feeling, you know? But when you persevere in love, stubborn love, I'm not going to bend. Stubborn love. I mean, not on your will, but on the things that are good, on love. Stubborn faith. You're going to keep loving that person. You're going to keep believing. Stubborn hope. You're going to keep hoping. Stubborn generosity. You're going to keep giving, even when nobody does this, even when everything's against you, even when it looks, be stubborn in what is good. And when, be even defiantly good, you know, be defiantly loving, be defiant when you have every reason against you not to love that person anymore. No, I don't care. All the more I'm going to do it. You know, all the more I'm going to be holy. All the more, you know, let me take a break for a second to give you a mission. Here's an assignment. What area do you know you're going to really need perseverance in that you might give up if you don't really resolve? You know, what area do you have to really stick to it? You could get discouraged and, you know, you might just stop in some area. You know, you get knocked down. What area do you need perseverance in? Is it loving somebody? Is it just persevering in doing good? Is it whatever it is? What do you need? What area do you need? And write it down and seek the Lord for perseverance in that area, and write down even something, you know, some practical steps you can take to keep you going when you need to keep going in what is good. Go ahead, and we'll be right back. Okay. This is scripture. It says, be immovable. I pray you be immovable, steadfast in God's love. It says, be rooted and grounded in love. Be strong about this. Don't be wimpy about it. Be strong about what is good. Okay? Here's some other things. When God closes a door, he opens a window. Paul went out a window in the book of Acts. So did David. You know, and he learned his whole life, Paul was going out through windows. It's the out the window principle. I did a message called that. And that is that, you know, there's always a way to glorify God. It doesn't matter what's happening. It doesn't matter if you're in prison. It doesn't matter. I mean, you know, people in prison for their faith. It doesn't matter if you're handicapped. It doesn't matter. A million things against you. There's always some way of praising God, of glorifying God and obeying. No one can stop you from glorifying God if you don't let yourself be stopped. So always look for the window. You know, it may not be the way you thought, you know, oh, you know, this is the only way I'm going to have happiness, the only way I'm going to fulfill God's will, the only way I'm going to minister. No, he closes the doors. If it's not his will, there's always some other way, and go for it. Okay. Which is linked to the lemonade principle, which I'm not sure if I mentioned at one of them. Lemonade principle is basically when you get sour things in life, turn them around by God's spirit. You got the power to turn it around for good. To make it something good. And Paul was always doing this. In the book of Acts, you read the book of Acts, and it's filled with people who are persecuted and getting all these things against them, and yet every time something comes against them, it just gets turned around by the Spirit and by their resolve and their hope and their stick-to-itiveness, never giving up in God, always looking for the best. It turns around. For instance, they get persecuted and they get scattered. Well, as they get scattered, you know, they're all sent away. They say, "Hey, let's spread the gospel. This is going to turn into great things. Wherever we go, as we're running away, we're going to share God's love." And so the word started spreading all over. You know, Paul. You know, he's spreading the word of God, and he gets put in prison. You know, so that's going to stop him. But he could just say, "Oh, poor me. How can I serve God? And how could this be? I have to go here and here, and now I can't go anywhere. I can't preach. I'm a preacher." He says, "No, I'm going to write." So he starts writing in prison. And through that, he reaches far more people. You know, when he preached, he reached thousands. Now, by that, he reaches millions and millions by his letters. You see? Be like that. Be stubborn in that way. And look for always the way of good. There's always a way to turn around. Okay? Faith. Be a person of faith. You know, when you realize how good this thing is, then it's very hard to not love God and do everything you're supposed to do from your heart. It's, you know, otherwise you're just trying to, you know, struggle, work it up on your own. When you know how, just really believe the promises, believe God, believe his goodness, all that, and you'll just end up doing what's right, you know, and you'll be steadfast. In Hebrew, the word for faith, emunah, it comes from the word, is linked to the word amen, which, because faith is just saying yes to God, whatever, yes to your promises, yes, I believe, I'm going to, you know, and also means the word steadfast and strong. And so therefore, you know, when you, the more you believe, the real belief, the more you become strong in God. Okay, next. This is linked to it, and that is, what do we have our faith in? The gospel means, again, the good news. Good news. Now, what is the result of good news? Someone tells you you've won $1 million. What do you do? Do you depressed? Do you get depressed? Do you complain about it? You rejoice. Now, for a little bit, then that doesn't give you a life of joy, and studies have shown that too. But the thing is, that's in the natural. But when you get the good news of God, which is better than money, it's better than, it's forever and it's everything, what's the natural result of good news? Joy. joy, joy. So the more you believe the good news, that means you're not getting all caught up in your circumstance. You're not believing the circumstance. Remember, you minister to your circumstance. You address to it, but you live your life out of God, from the good news from heaven. And then, you know, if it gets all messed up and you're trying to get from your circumstance and your eyes are all on your circumstance, don't let your life be dependent on your circumstance or your well-being dependent on how things are going in your circumstance. Otherwise, you'll never be any better than your circumstance. There's nothing supernatural about that. And you'll get wrapped up and all that, you know, and it's easy to get distracted. Get back to, hey, I'm living from God. I'm getting my joy from Him and from the good news. And then I'm here. The circumstance is not here to make me happy. The circumstance is here so I can express God's love and His joy. All right. Believe the good news. Now, what's another thing, another reaction to good news? Well, let me put it a different way. The good news is the gift of salvation, the gift of God. And so what is the reaction when someone's given you a gift? You say thank you. Thanks. Thankfulness. So what's the sign that you've received something great or you've received something? You're a thankful person. It doesn't matter if you haven't been thankful before. Now you know the reason. Now you've got it. Thankful. Don't let a day go by without giving thanks for your salvation. I've shared that. You'll be happier just by doing that. Be a person of thankfulness. You know the word grace you hear of, and that's about unmerited love. There's the grace that God gives us, and the gift that He gives us is just grace. Well, the word gracias, you know, which means thank you, is also it means thank you. And so grace, the sign that you have grace in your life, God's grace is gracia, a life of gracias, of thankfulness. And it's because it's a great gift. You got to have mucho gracias. You got to have a great thankfulness in your life. You want to be happy? It's not about getting more things. Be thankful for all the blessings in your life. Here's a real good assignment, real good mission. Do it. You'll be blessed. Watch just how you'll get. I guarantee you'll get more joyful by just doing this. Now, get a piece of paper and start writing down the blessings in your life to be thankful for. And when you think about people, you know, start thanking God for the good in the people. And you'll start loving them more. Thank God for the blessings. You could start with your clothes. You have clothes on your back. A lot of people don't. You have a roof over your head. A lot of people don't in this world. You have all sorts of things. You don't have to have all that. You know, see, the problem is we take for granted all these things and then we lose the gift of it. All of life is a gift. The breath that you have is a gift. Start writing down and include salvation and even things that, you know, just do it. Spend time and watch how you get more joy. And make this a regular practice in your life. You should at least give thanks every day, not only for your salvation, but for other things as well. Make it a habit when you come to God and even the beginning of the day and after. Thank God for a new day to just love Him. And when you thank God for people, it's another secret about loving them, is the more you thank God for the people, the more you'll love them. All right? Do it. This is so crucial. And watch. You're going to see it happen. And I'll catch you coming back. Okay. More things. Now, I mentioned this before. You have a choice in life. You are free in God. You don't have to react just because something's happened to you. You have the choice of how you want to see things, how you react to things. And it says that He promises that to work all things for good in your life. Not that all things are going to seem good, but all things will work for good in your life. And therefore, everything in your life is either a blessing or a blessing in disguise. Okay, so learn to see things that way. Even when you don't know and you can't understand everything now and all that, believe by faith. Okay, and rejoice. Choose to live on the offense. I said that before. On the offensive, not on the defensive. Don't live life that, you know, up against a wall. I'm just hoping I hang on. I hope I stay. You know, take new ground. Step out, and be on the offensive. Believe success, believe victory, be a person of hope, and be a person of action. All those things I said to be persevering, goodness and hope and love and faith, you persevere in action. You be a person of love in action, of hope, apply that to action, of faith, apply your faith to action, of joy, apply to action. Serve God. Serve and bless and do the good things with joy. Live a heaven-based life. I told you that before, that you're living as if you have been beamed on this planet from above. You know, it says again, born, the word born again in John 3 also can be translated born from above. You, and therefore you are like, you're like an angel on earth, you know, an earthly one, but you know, whatever. You are here on assignment. And so therefore you're not here to complain. Oh my, you know, look at the situation. You know, I wish I was more comfortable. I wish I was, it's not a hangout. This is not your eternal place. You're not home. This is the place where you are on mission. So do it and receive every morning. Lord, what do you want me to do today? Lead me, dedicate each day to God. Put it in his hands. Okay. Be a person. You want to be a person of joy, of giving. You know, tithing is one of those things, part of it. I haven't mentioned, but that's the principle of at least the first tenth of what we have, we give to God. The very first, because by doing that, we're dedicating everything else to God. And he promises to more than bless everything we've given. He says, give, it'll be given back to you 100-fold. Now, that doesn't mean you give, so okay, I'll do this much. So now you'll multiply and I'll get this much money back. That's not it. Give for the joy of giving, but he'll bless it back in other ways. Give of your time too. The tithe is what I said is the biblical standard. It was a minimum, you know, and it's not to do it out of a lawful heart, but out of the joy that we give the first fruits and say, everything we get, Lord, is from you. So the first fruits I give to you. It's the principle of first fruits of whatever I have. And also give your time to service, you know, and give and to your congregation and to the Great Commission and those who need. Okay. Give, it will be given to you, it says. Given, pressed down, abundantly flowing over. All right. Don't be led by this life. Lead this life. Be led by God, but lead this life. Don't be led by your problem. You lead your problem until it gets in line with God. You may not be feeling something. You may not be seeing the victory. You say, hey, listen, I don't care. I'm not here to react. I'm not going to rejoice only when I see things work out for me. I'm going to rejoice now, and that thing is going to work out. You understand? You're leading the situation. Okay? You know, proclaim victory and freedom before you see it. That's the victory. Learn how to be a branch. Messiah came from Nazareth. He's called Jesus of Nazareth, Yeshua of Nitzeret. That comes from a Hebrew word that is Netzer, means the branch. That's one of the names of Messiah, the branch. He's the branch. And learn the secrets of the branch, and that is a branch has two ends. One is plugged into the tree, and the other is going out bearing fruit. Okay, so one is kind of receiving from that tree, and receives from the inside, the inner thing. You don't see how it's receiving, and the other bears out fruit. Well, our life is to have two ends that same way. We're to be always receiving, and that comes in the quiet and in the deep, and it's even unseen in the deep part. And then we bear fruit; it becomes action. We give, and it becomes fruit that people can't see, that things can't see. From the unseen, we receive, we drink in, and then we bear fruit to the world. Receive. And give, receive and give, you'll be blessed. Okay? Guard your secret time, therefore. Again, remember the four foundations: daily prayer, your quiet time, your communion time, at least 20 minutes and more. Communion time and time in the Word, receiving and enjoying it, looking forward to it, making it precious, all those things I said. And then also the time of action. And then more than weekly, the fellowship, abide in him. In John 15, check it out. And throughout that portion of scripture, he speaks about abide in me and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. We have to abide in him. And you abide in the secret place, you know, as I spoke about. It says in the epistles that we are seated in the heavenly places. Learn to live in the heavenlies. You get refreshed. Learn how to, you know, kind of live above your life. Like, okay, I know this is a problem, but I'm really, listen, my real heart, my well-being is with God above this all, and dwell in the secret place with God. Okay, never give up, never get discouraged. Because I mean, you know, the times we get, all right, you know, we get down, but listen, get up again, because God, it says, is the God of all encouragement. Therefore, the direction is encouragement. Okay, he wants you to win, and you will with him. Just keep going. Okay, always see life as an adventure. It says, when you live by the Spirit, and you'll walk in the newness of life. Always seek God. Always be ready for new things, you know, in him. It says in the book of Isaiah, and in joy you shall draw water from the wells of Yeshua, or the wells of salvation. And that's saying that salvation is like well water, and the joy of God is like well water. You want a joyful life, it has to be one that is, well water comes from the inside out. A life of fullness comes not by trying to get more things on the outside, because then the inside's empty, but get from the inside out. It's lived from, again, the secret things, and it goes out that way. So you need a full life with secret things, with you and God. Here's an assignment, okay? Before we go on, do something secret just for God to hear or to see, for his eyes only. He says he sees in secret. So when you go to God, get alone and you think, do something. You could write a little poem to him, you know, write a little love letter to him, you know, or do an act of righteousness that only he sees, and then rejoice that he has seen it and he smiles on you. There's a fullness to life by living in the secret of God, and then all the rest. But it's the center of your life, the inner part, is got to be full, and that has to do with secret things. Okay, go ahead, do it. I'll see you in a moment. Okay, here's some more stuff. You become what you look at, what you believe. So therefore, what do you want to become? Look at it. Look at the best. Believe the best. Fix your eyes on him. Okay, don't get wrapped up in the other things. Don't look at what you don't want to become. Don't dwell on evil. Don't dwell on people's faults. So you become like that. Dwell on the best. Learn the secret of not owning anything. I don't mean, you know, you don't have a house. I don't mean you don't have that. And that sometimes people, you know, are called to give that up. But what I'm saying is that don't, in your heart, don't own things. It's all borrowed. Everything you have is just borrowed. Because when you own things, they end up owning you. And you get weighed down by them, you know. And so in the priest in the Old Testament, they didn't own anything. They had God. And so therefore, learn the same thing. You know, when you don't really, I'm saying in your heart, don't have, you know, everything is just being, you know, it's just for now and to be used for love. So when you don't have something, you don't have anything to worry about, nothing to weigh you down. You know, it's a joy. Learn that joy. Each morning, you know, receive your whole life as a blessing given to you again, your wife, your children, your ministry, your home. Everything is a gift. You understand? Because when you have things, you take it for granted. But everything is received again. Lord, thank you for this day. And I set it into your hands and thank you for giving to me. It's a new day and take it as a gift. When you go to bed at night, give him everything back. Say, Lord, here's my problems. Here's the burdens. Here's also the joys. Here's what I had today. Here, it's all yours. And I want to just have you. You know, you can even, you know, just embrace God. Okay. Learn to do that. Learn to do that. Give all the things to him and also receive all good things as a gift. And part of that is learned in our giving. We've had one like this before, but let's stop for a moment. And it's real important and real concrete. Here's the next mission. And that is, you've done this before if you've been doing it right. Do something a bit more. Give something away. And something maybe that's more than the other thing you gave before. Give something away and really rejoice. Give it to someone personally or something or whatever and because of out of love for them and rejoice in the joy of giving. Okay? Do it and you'll be blessed. And I'll see you back in a moment. Okay, here's more. Dwell on the problem and you'll stay in the problem. Dwell on the way out and you'll get out. Philippians 4, that's part of joy too. I tell you, you want peace of mind, you know, you're going through a lot of stuff, meditate on Philippians 4, peace of mind, and apply it and just dwell on it, okay? Take a moment, look over, meditate on Philippians 4 and see how that will affect your life as you put it into practice. Okay, go ahead. I'll meet you here. Okay, next. You know, we look at people in the world. We wait for joy. We hope, oh, joy is going to happen. Joy is going to come to my life. You know, or if I get this, I'll get joy. If I buy this, I'll get joy. If I, you know, get this situation, I'll get joy. But the Bible says, rejoice, rejoice. It just says rejoice. You know, joy is a verb. You have a choice to rejoice, you know, and I didn't mean to rhyme that. You have a choice to have joy or not. You just have to choose to rejoice. You've got more than enough to rejoice about already. Learn to rejoice. It's a verb. Learn to rejoice in all things. Okay, next. Deal with life head on. You're a victor. Deal as a victor, someone who's going to win. Okay, head on. You don't have to hide or run or escape. Next. When you take to heart and apply God's word and be open to change, let it change you, you will always grow. Next, get involved in serving. Again, as I've said before. And 100%. Whatever you do, do it 100%. Do everything wholeheartedly. The Bible says, whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly and for God. You might think that it's easier to do, 50%. It's not. 50% is to be divided, and that's real hard. Or maybe I'll do 95% for God. No, that's less than full. Be pure. Do things wholeheartedly with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. It says love God with all that. You know, totally. Just resolve to be total, and whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly, and you know what? You'll do it with your heart in it. And when you do things with your whole heart in it, you'll have joy. Whatever you don't say, like, oh, I have to get up, I have to go to bed, I have to do this, I have to pay this, you're not a slave. Do things freely, wholeheartedly. When you're holy, be holy. Be completely. Do it with your whole heart and you'll be blessed. You see, now you've got something you can go all out on. You know, before you didn't. Now you do. And you want joy, go all out for God. Go all out for love. And go all out in living a life of strong love. Go all out in hope. Go all out in faith. Go all out in righteousness. Go all out for the love of God. And in the love of God, you'll live a life of joy. So listen, my friend, you've got more than enough to rejoice about and to have joy for the rest of your life over. More than enough. And you know what? Therefore, learn the secret of just rejoicing, even when you don't feel like it. So what's the last assignment here? From Philippians, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I will say rejoice. So here's the last assignment for you for this tape. Rejoice. Just take some time and rejoice. Take some time and rejoice. Give thanks for all you have and rejoice in the Lord. You might go for a walk. You can stay in your room, get alone. You can laugh. You can whatever. Just rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. God bless you. This is the New Life tape album, the New Life Pack, and this is Jonathan Kahn. And this is now the 12th of the 12 teachings. And this is called Secrets, Tips, and Everything Else. I'm going to try to just put as much in here as I can. First of all, let's start with everything else. You're going to have questions in life. We all have questions. And God doesn't promise that all our questions are going to be answered down here. Okay? Bring them all to God. Trust Him anyway. He'll work things out. You'll know as you go. Go forward in God and He'll work things out. Okay? Don't move to the right or the left. Keep your eyes continually on Him. Lift it up all above all the other stuff to Him. Keep things simple. It's easy to get lost in the details, but continually go back, lighten up, put all the stuff at His feet, and get back to the first things. There are a million side issues, but remember the most important things are actually the most simple, which is basically God loves you. When you fall, get up. Get up and keep going. Doesn't matter how many times, just get up and keep going. Never lose the amazing grace and the wonder of His love in your life of salvation. Never lose the, wow, hey, yeah, you actually love me. You saved me. Wow. You know, never lose that. That's how you grow. Stay childlike in heart, but adult in your thinking. Press through. You got to press through to higher things. Sometimes we're not comfortable with change, so sometimes we kind of mess ourselves up, you know, and we just keep on going around in circles. But press through to the higher level in God. Also, keep something in mind. Often when it's hardest, you have to push through the most. That's when you grow. And, you know, it's not that God doesn't allow for opposition. He does. So we can grow in faith, grow in love. It has to be stronger. So sometimes it's hard. Often when it's hardest, the greatest blessing is right beyond, but you have to press through. I find that again and again. Just keep going, okay? And remember, I said when you're down, get up. It's not about perfect people, but about perfect love and perfect grace. God often comes through at the last minute. If you're tested beyond what you think you're able to do, rejoice. That means He knows you're stronger than you think you are in Him. He can do it. As you grow, don't fall into judging other people for being less spiritual. Beware of those who act as if, you know, theirs is the only way and they're the most spiritual people. Listen, the most spiritual people are also the most humble people and they judge the least. So the attitude of the spiritual has to be, I don't know the half of it. Remember Paul in Philippians 3 says, I press on that I might know Him. Be consistent and persevere in consistency. Consistency, you know, doing these things consistently is what gives you growth. Hang around those you want to become like. Remember, you end up dwelling in what you dwell on. Don't choose just the good, choose the best. In your weakness, He'll be strong. Remember, it doesn't matter how they are to you, it's how you are to them. Get your blessings from God and your love from God and give it to them. Take care of God's business, He'll take care of yours. Stay humble, and not by dwelling on how rotten you are, but dwelling on how wonderful He is. Live by the Spirit and in the joy of the Spirit. Live for God's smile. Don't ever let your enemies become your enemies. Love them. If you're with God, you're in His will, remember, there's nothing to worry about. It says, if God be for us, what can be against us? Seek what is good, not what is easy, but what is good. Choose every day the Lord, not just once. Choose all every day. And every day, put Him first. Put first things first and put secondary things second. Remember that everything you've got is a gift of love from God. And even your life, even the time. So make the most of it for love. Ask, seek, and knock. And He'll answer. People are flaky, but God is the rock. Pray for Israel and love the Jewish people. He says he will bless those who bless them. They are his family. And you are too. Get into the deeper levels of prayer. Get into the joy and the treasure of knowing and being with God. Treasure that time. Look forward to it every day because you're meeting the King of the universe. And be with him always. Learn to also be with him at all times. Keep going, keep going, keep going. It's good, and go all out in the good. And keep growing in God's love and his grace and in the knowledge of your salvation. Let me give you some chapters that are key things to know at the outset of your faith. I mean, everything in the Bible is a treasure, but just some things that are good to have at the beginning. John 3, of course, is the new birth. And you should be writing this down or some way, you know, going for it, but I'm going to give you a number of them. John 3, the whole chapter, the new birth. Romans 8, it's majestic on the victory we have in God. Matthew 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount, living our lives in him. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Just meditate on that. Psalm 103, which is bless the Lord, O my soul. Just a beautiful prayer of thanksgiving and to meditate on. Philippians 4, as I've said before, for peace of mind and joy. Hebrews 11, the examples of faith. From the Hebrew scriptures, but it's in the New Testament, Hebrews 11. John 1, the divine, majestic opening, the Word was with God and the Word was God. John 14 to 16, it's the Lord speaking to you, his disciple. Ephesians, all of it. Of course, all of everything is all, you know, and keep going with everything, but there's so much that's great to read right now. The parables of salvation in Luke 15. Including the prodigal son, the sheep and the goats from Matthew 25, the resurrection, John 20 to the end there. Love is 1 Corinthians 13. And there's so much more. Remember, again, best to continually be reading in the gospel and in Ephesians to start as a regular thing, in addition to the Psalms and all these things I've given you. And remember, you know, every day, keep that quiet, special time with him. Again, I can't emphasize that enough, of just being with him, of communing with him, of sharing with him and being and hearing from him and just soaking him in and meditating on him and his word. Okay? Now, what do you do now? Something I haven't mentioned, it's important. In the book of Acts, you find continuously when people came to the Lord, they say, repent and be immersed, or we know it from the Greek English form, baptized. Baptism is misunderstood. It's not getting into some organization. It doesn't matter if as a kid, a baby, you were. It is something you choose to do. Now that you know the Lord, you need to do this. It was a command. It's a symbol. It's an outward act that represents what inward has happened in your life. Going down in the water, it's identifying with Messiah in his death and coming up in his life. In another sense, it is the old life, you know, the old clothes is down, gone, washed away, and when you come up, it's the new life. And so it's not what saves you. You do it because you have salvation. But you need to do it. It's a command. It's something, and it's a beautiful thing, and it's a public proclamation. I have decided to follow the Lord, and he's mine, I'm his. And so do it, you know, if you, what we do is we usually wait till it gets warm out, and we do it outside. It's a beautiful thing. But one way or the other, okay? And then grow. Receive, grow in strength, grow in love, grow, become strong and rooted, and then become part, an active part of your congregation. The membership is a real step and a real important one. And whether you're here, we're here to help you. You know, if you got this through us, we're here to help you. And if you got this through some other, you're across the country somewhere, whatever, I'm sure they'll help you. If you just happen to get this, we do have an outreach ministry that can send things and you can write to. It's Hope of the World. We have a lot of tapes and hundreds of tapes and teachings. There will be, I'm sure, some other series and getting more, you know, advanced things. But remember, you can't get any more advanced than his love, but it'll be like deeper things about or more things about the word and things like that. We'll be working on that. But it's Hope of the World. It's box 1111, Lodi, New Jersey. And the zip is 07644. That's LODI for Lodi. Remember, it all comes back to love. You never get past that. It's love. And grow in it and the knowledge of your salvation. Remember, the word Jesus is Yeshua in Hebrew, which also it's rooted in the word salvation. He's my salvation. Grow in that amazing grace, you know. And remember the greatest thing, you know, it was the Shema. It was Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You know, you do that, you'll get everything else right, you know. And how do you do it? You do it through His strength. Remember, you're not alone anymore. Live your life through His life, and let Him live His life through your life. And all your burdens, they're His now. And all His peace and His shalom, that's yours now. Remember, we can never learn anything greater than God so loved us. He so loved you, so loved me, that He gave His only Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. The greatest love we'll ever know or see is that of our Creator for us, that He came down, stepped into our shoes, and gave the ultimate gift and the ultimate sacrifice for us on Calvary, on that execution stake. That is the greatest love. Never move away from it. Never center your life on the good news, on His love. Center your life on the good news, and your life will always be good and new. Make the center of your life, God loves me, God's love, you know, and you won't but be able to help but live a good and full and joyful and loving and wonderful life. I don't know what you were before, but you are now a disciple. You are now the highest thing you could ever be, a disciple, the disciple of the living God, Messiah's own disciple. Live a life that is worthy of the high calling that is now upon your life. Fight your good fight with strength, with His strength, and with hope. And run your good race with endurance. It says in Hebrews, let us therefore run with endurance the race that's set before us, fixing our eyes on the author and the finisher of our faith, and shaking off all those things that would hinder us. Let us run the race with endurance. Live a life worthy of this great honor. This is the greatest honor and the greatest thing we've ever gotten into, or we've been brought into. He said, pick up your cross. If you'd follow me, pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. It is the greatest life. You know, the song goes, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. The world behind me, the cross before me. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. And we need that same commitment. He's committed to you with all His being, with all His life. And you need to do the same. You know, in a marriage, a strong marriage is based on a strong commitment, and one that counts the cost and considers what it's going to mean, and yet still says, no matter what, I'm committed. You know, each one saying, I'm committed to you, and the other, I'm committed to you, regardless of what comes and what changes and what goes on and all that. This commitment is for real and for strong. And that's the way He is to you, and you need to be to Him. So, you know, I think it's real important. I know, I'm sure you've prayed prayers, to receive Him and all that, but, and maybe prayers like this, but here I think it's even more important. After everything we've spoken about, it means more because you've more counted what it involves. To take a moment now to pray the prayer of a true disciple, and that is this, a prayer resolving, saying, Lord, no matter what comes, no matter what feelings come and go, no matter what comes my way, no matter what people say, if everybody in the world denounces you and says that you're not, they're never going to follow you, if every Christian does that, I don't care, still I am going to follow you. If I get what I want in life, I don't get what I want or what I've dreamed in life, it doesn't matter. If I go through the hardest thing, it doesn't matter. I'm going to follow you because I know you're the only way. You're the way, you're the truth, and you're the life. And only you gave your life for me to redeem my life forever. And so no matter what, you're the best thing in this universe beyond it, and I am going to follow you. Pray, take some time to pray, to truly commit your everything, the future, to Him. And no matter what, a strong and regardless prayer, regardless of everything, or no matter what, I will follow you. Pray the prayer of a disciple, and it's your prayer. So take a moment, put the tape on pause or turn it off, and do that. It's real important. And then come on back and we'll close. Okay. Congratulations, because this everything is the best thing that you've ever done, and that's happened to you. And so it is worthy of all your commitment. You know, this is real stuff. It's real. It's not some, you know, temporary high in some, you know, some pie in the sky or rosy colored thing. This is real. And so it involves every part of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and involves some tough things as well. It's everything. It's the real thing. You know, I've been focusing on your commitment to Him and, you know, our commitment. And the whole series is really focusing on your steps, your footsteps, and, you know, knowing what it's about and everything, and the foundations, but then your footsteps there. And I haven't focused so much on His footsteps. I want to share something about that. And if you haven't heard it, or if you have, it's just a beautiful thing. And a man is speaking. I said, I had a dream the other night, and in this dream, I saw the shore, the sand, you know, on the seashore, and the water and the ocean, right alongside. And on the sand of the shore were footsteps, footprints. And they were my, I knew they were my footprints because I was looking back and it was my life there. And it was my life with footprints. And I saw my journey, and I saw when the day I asked the Lord into my life and followed Him. And then I saw two sets of footprints throughout the sand. And as it walked, it went through the different times of my life, and I saw it reflected in the waters. There were some peaceful times and some beautiful times, but then there were the harder times. And then I saw the footsteps throughout all of them. The Lord was showing He was with me and walking by my side. And then I looked and I saw the hardest part of my life, and the waters raged, and it was a storm, a tempest, and the clouds were dark, and I knew that was the time when I needed the Lord the most, and I was at the end. I had no strength, and it was too much. And I looked at the sand, and there was only one set of footprints. And I said, Lord, why, in the time when I needed You the most, why did You leave me then? And the Lord answered, and He said, my child, I never left you. Those are my footprints. At that time when you needed me most, when it was too much, when all the storms surrounded you, it was then that I carried you. You see, this tape series is made for you necessarily to focus on your path, you know, on starting with God's love, but then your footsteps, you know, and these are the first steps, you know, just like when you were a little baby and, well, a little bit more than a little baby, and you had to learn how to walk, and it started with just taking a few steps, and you fell down, and you got up, and you took a few more steps, and, you know, you had to step out. It was a risky thing back then. It was comfortable to crawl, but you did it. You know, you took the risk, and you made your step, and you took your footsteps. And so this series is the same way, to help you begin to walk in a way that's strong and that will enable you to grow for the rest of your life, your footsteps. But then there are His footsteps. See, you know, we focused on what, you know, our path, because you see, God doesn't need a tape series. He doesn't need a discipleship course. He doesn't need, you know, to learn how to be faithful, because He is faithful. Because He's love. He's love. He said, I will never leave nor forsake you. You see, the ultimate thing is, He's more faithful than you. This is not about us. It's about Him. It's about Him. So our part is to center on Him, not on ourselves, on Him. It's about his love. It's he who called us, he who led this, he who's leading me to do this right now. It's really he who speaks beyond, you know, and he's the one who drew you. He's the one who put this together. He's the one who drew me when I wasn't looking. He's the one. He's more faithful than you. You know, you're to be faithful with all your heart, but still, we mess up. But he will always be faithful. He never fails. He will never fail. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to give you what you want. Doesn't mean, you know, there are times you're going to say, Lord, how, why did this happen? But he will be there. He will hold you. He will get you through, you know, he will be there through all of life. You know, a lot of things happen in life. I look back 10 years and, you know, it's like, you know, as I've shared, it's, you know, there are things that were on my mind back then and they seem so big, you know, and also there was the Lord. But now it's 10 years later and I can look back and I don't remember what those other things were, you know, but the Lord is just as real and just as important and just as true as he was then. And that'll be true in another 10 years. You know, everything in life changes. People come and go and come into your life and pass out of your life and situations change. But through all those things, he will be your rock. He will be your best friend. He will be there. You know, he was there when you were in your mother's womb. You know, he was there. You know, and it says, you know, you knew me then and you had all my days, you know, numbered in your book then, you know. And, you know, not that we had him in our heart, that took a while, you know, and then we went our way and, you know, he watched, he was there and we did our thing and, you know, and he was kind of guiding it to get to him. And finally he drew us and we came to him, we said yes, and we came into our life, into our heart, and he will be there. And through all the changes and all the times and all the years and all the, you know, the good times, the hard times, the joys and the sorrows, he will be there and he will not forsake you. It says, you know, through all things, when you mess up, when you don't, when you're doing great, when you're, you know, you just feel like you can't go, he will be there and he is what you need. He will remain what you need. When it doesn't matter if you're poor or you have mansions, he is still what you need. You know, he will be there and he will be what you need. He doesn't fail. You know, and he from the moment of our conception to the now, especially knowing him and having him and being his now, till the day that we lie down and close our eyes and our gray hairs and leave this life, he will be there. And then what? Then heaven. And then eternal life. Well, it begins now, but then is, you know, it says, eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and nor has it entered the mind of man what God has prepared for those who love him, than those he loves, you know. It's, we couldn't even begin to talk about it, you know, but whatever is, you know, compared to this life, I mean, this isn't, you know, we're living in a dump compared to what is yet to come. You know, the best is yet to come. You know, it's a 100,000 times more wonderful and peaceful and loving and it's 100,000 times more home, you know. So God gives you the best life and then he gives you heaven, you know. So it's the greatest thing, you know, and I can testify, you know, he's faithful. And when you follow him, he just blesses you more and more. Just follow his way and he just will bless you. And there's nothing like it. There's never been. There's no other. There's no second. There's no runner-up. It's it. And it's for real. And I've seen miracles. And I've seen all sorts. I've also heard the Lord say, no, I'm not answering that prayer. But also, or I'm not going to say yes, but I've seen, you know, so many answered prayers and miracles, and you will too. I'm going to close. I thought the best way to just read some of the Word of God, and then one last application that'll be the most important of all. And I'll give the chapter, but you can find these for yourself. But God showed his great love for us by sending Messiah to die for us while we were still sinners. Romans 5. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, our Lord. That's Romans 6. Truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. That's John 6. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life. That's John 10. The righteous will dwell in your presence. Psalm 140. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He'll be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Deuteronomy 31. We know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. Psalm 37. He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus, the Messiah. Philippians 1. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, our Lord. Romans 8. You are my hiding place from every storm of life. Psalm 32. Do not fear, for I'm with you. Don't anxiously look around you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Philippians 4. If you have faith, even as small as a tiny mustard seed, nothing will be impossible. Matthew 17. To know the love of Messiah which surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled up to all the fullness of God. Ephesians 3. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1. And through him, everyone who believes is freed from all things from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 5. Let us not be weary in doing good, because in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. Galatians 6. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of God, knowing that your labor is never in vain. 1 Corinthians 15. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. 1 Thessalonians 5. Commit your work to the Lord, and then it will succeed. Proverbs 16. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. John 14. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened down, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11. He will keep in perfect peace all those who trust in him, whose thoughts turn often to the Lord. Isaiah 26. There is no condemnation for those in Messiah Jesus. Romans 8. Be encouraged, I have overcome the world. John 16. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. 1 John 5. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah 8. Happy is the one who puts his trust in the Lord. Proverbs 16. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Matthew 28. And there is so much, so much, so much more for you to know and grow into and rejoice in, which you will, as you follow and keep on, pressing on. And now it's time for the last application. This is the most important. What's the last application? The last application is the rest of your life. The rest of your life, apply the love and the word and the joy and the truth and the hope and the faith of God. Live a life that is worthy of that high calling, a life that is could be summed up as a life of God's love, a life of giving, a life of rejoicing, a life of persevering, a life of righteousness, a life of holiness and purity, a life of goodness, a life of victory and triumph in the salvation of God. Go for the highest, and he'll bless you with his best. It's only just begun. So run your race with endurance that is set before you, fixing your eyes on the author and the finisher of your faith, Messiah, and fight your good fight, and rejoice in the Lord always, because he loves you. Smile. God loves you, and you're going to win. Now, please bow your head as I'll close with one of the most ancient blessings in the world from the book of Numbers, the Aaronic blessing, first in Hebrew, then in English. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panavalecha v'ichunecha, Yisa Adonai panavalecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you, my friend, and keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you grace. May the Lord cause the glory of his face to shine upon you, and may the Lord give you shalom, life, fullness, grace, peace, and all the blessings of his love for you. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, our Savior. God bless you, my friend, and go for it. Shalom.